This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, part two of getting fit in the new year, talking about ideas and ways to help you in that direction. We could have sent all of you out to jog for half an hour, but we weren't sure everybody would participate and bring their radio along, so it seemed better to just stay in studio. Juliet Plentius of Blue Zones Project Umpqua, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So how do you feel like the Umpqua Valley is progressing overall since this whole Blue Zones emphasis started?
Yeah, we are feeling pretty darn good, Kyle. Some folks may have seen the press release that recently came out, the newspaper covered. We're already surpassing our expectations for our community's well-being initiative that launched in April of 2017. We recently had a end-of-year celebration at Orrin Moore in December, and it really was an opportunity for us as a team to collect our outcomes, to kind of put it in a palatable way where we could present out to the community, report on the progress that we've made. And we were just so excited to be able to see that the real impact that we've been seeing over the course of the last 2 years through our measurements, but also lots of anecdotes, right, from people that are participating, are coming together to really form such a solid report out on what's going on in our community. So we've already come so far in the Umpqua Valley, making this place somewhere where we can all make healthy choices, where we can all, you know, the ultimate goal being to live longer, better, where connections are formed and fostered, where we can move naturally, safely, where we can eat wisely, and really where this culture around well-being is reaching a tipping point. And that being our ultimate goal, where people can feel really comfortable taking on those new well-being related practices and behaviors, feel good about it, know that they're part of a bigger movement, and, you know, recognize that if you've been waiting for a time to make a personal transformation around well-being, now is the time.
Obviously, the new year brings people with resolutions up for a lot of different things, but a lot of times diet and health and exercise and things like that jump to the forefront. Mm-hmm. One of our national shows early this morning talked about just the preponderance of how many people are out there exercising as the year began. Mm-hmm. And then they said it slows down starting the 17th of January.
Oh, the 17th. That's so soon.
People make it 2.5 weeks and then they just sort of oftentimes fade back.
Yeah.
And what you're encouraging, though, is a long-term change in a lot of levels.
Absolutely. And we are trying to make that as easy as possible. Making the healthy choice the easy choice is really, I think, what's unique about Blue Zones Project. Not only do we provide activities and programming where an individual can say, hey, I want to go to that and, you know, take an evening to maybe explore purpose or do some, you know, movement, but also in your everyday life, everywhere you go, all of these environments where you spend time, to actually make it easy for you to make those choices in those environments. So it's not all based on personal willpower, that you're being supported and even nudged in some cases toward making healthy choices at the places where you work, places where you eat, shop, study, pray, the places where you play in the community. All of these places are supporting you in making those healthy choices so that when January 17th rolls around and that willpower starts to wane, we're still being supported and coaxed and encouraged to do that.
A lot of times you look back over the years, and especially the older you are, you can remember the way certain things used to be. You know, I grew up without seatbelts in cars, you know, initially. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that long ago you had smoking areas in restaurants,
right,
which now, I mean, my kids are like, what? You know, because now...
As they should be.
Because that was a shift.
Yeah.
You know, when those laws changed and you get forward a number of years, people that are younger had never experienced that and are somewhat shocked to believe that actually was used to be okay. And there's so many practices that change over time in a lot of different areas in life.
Yeah.
And it seems like with what you're trying to do here with Blue Zones is to put all these things out there so that they become the norm for people, and that you attract more people that way, because that's what people in the Umpqua do.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to struggle to make healthy choices. So I often give the example, if I'm saying, hey, I want to quit my Snickers bar addiction, and you know, this is the week I'm going to do it, 2020 is the year for me to quit my Snickers bar addiction, and I go to work, and I go to, let's say, my work cafeteria, and all they're serving are Snicker bars, I'm probably not going to do super well. And that's obviously an extreme
example. Some people
would
think they just found the ideal job.
So, you know, just obviously an extreme example of what, you know, most of us have it a little better than that, where they're not only serving those things, but what if they had, you know, Snicker bars, but also lots of healthy and enticing and affordable and mouthwatering healthy options, and maybe Snicker bars too, but maybe they're, you know, not prominent, and maybe the healthy choices are more affordable and more, you know, front and center. Those are the kind of things that we're just trying to make it possible that everywhere we go, there's at least a healthy choice, so that for those of us that are ready to take care of our bodies, that want to see greater health and our community thriving, our neighbors, our families, our, you know, choir members that are standing alongside us, these people that, you know, as we know, currently we're experiencing health challenges along with the rest of the country. And we're actually seeing, we've seen a fairly steady decline even nationally around well-being. But because we've worked so hard to make these changes here locally, and there's other Blue Zones project demonstration communities around the country that are seeing the same thing, it's actually quite a feat to even just hold steady in well-being outcomes. And then even to see improvements is quite the feat. So we're very excited that recent polling has actually shown that we're not only holding steady, but we're improving in some of our measurement areas.
I was talking to some folks in our extended family when we were in Portland last weekend, and I was trying to explain a little bit of this Blue Zones to them, and I talked about the National Geographic research and the spots around the world where people lived longer and the whole idea of longevity. And you would have thought that I was just talking about a totally foreign concept, because they had never heard this before.
Yeah.
And when I started explaining it and how different it was, and they just kind of looked at me and went, huh, wonder why I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, we're working hard to get the word out. And, you know, of course, all of the other communities in the country are, and we have a new community in Canada now. And Dan Buettner, who was one of the National Geographic Fellows who did that research, has a new cookbook that's coming out, and he's often featured on national TV. So I think it's getting out there more, but there's always those people that are the first to hear about it, that are the early adopters. But our goal is really to make sure that everyone feels included in the work that's happening.
One of the things you guys have amongst all the different things that you put out there for people is this personal pledge for longevity. Talk about that.
Yeah. So we invite, it's a very simple activity. It's usually follows a presentation around Blue Zone, sort of like what you were sharing with your friends. What are these places, these five longevity hotspots around the world? How is it that there are people that are living to age 100 about 10 times more than we are here? And then what are they doing? And so we talk about that power 9, which we'll probably talk about more. We talk about the life radius, like I was mentioning earlier, adapting those environments to support people making healthy choices. So we give this presentation about Blue Zones so that people can really feel included and inspired. But then we ask them to make it personal, to do what we call a personal pledge for longevity. And it's just an activity that takes a few minutes where people select some well-being behaviors around best practices that will nudge them toward making healthy choices based on that, those power 9, those proven behaviors from these Blue Zones. And when people do that, they just take a few minutes to commit to a few things that they're either already doing and will continue to do, or new behaviors, and they actually write their name. They say, okay, I did this personal pledge. We know that that is actually a well-being intervention. And currently, we've had 10% of our population in the Umpqua Valley has taken a personal pledge for longevity. So one out of 10 people that you are listening right now, one out of 10 people that are walking around the Umpqua Valley have made a personal pledge for longevity that we know if they do this, that will contribute to a longer, healthier, happier life.
One of the other things is this MOI concept, which you use in a lot of different areas, from walking to food and others.
Yeah, so moai, that's an Okinawan term, and it just means to gather for a common purpose. And Okinawa really has this fantastic concept where they put their kids into these small social groups, and then they cultivate those groups as the kids grow up. And so as you can imagine, once they get into their teens, into their midlife, into their older years, they have these extremely strong friendships that support them in the ups and downs and woes of life. And we can exactly do that for adults right now in our community. So the way that we adopt that concept is we ask people to form moais around three well-being behaviors and commit to practicing those behaviors for 10 weeks. And so people can either form a walking moai, where they just walk together once a week for 10 weeks, a purpose moai, where they get together usually after attending a purpose workshop and explore their own unique purpose, gifts, values, passions, and how that combines to form their purpose, or to do a plant slant pot lock once a week for 10 weeks. And we have had 72 teams in the Umpqua Valley complete 10-week moais, 474 people that have done it. And out of 474 people that have completed a moai, what's really cool is that over 80% of those participants report that they've made a new long-term friend from their moai. And that is so powerful, seeing that social isolation and loneliness is becoming so prevalent in our communities. So such a great combatant for those issues that we're seeing. Yeah.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County, part two. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Next week, we've got a five-part Inside Douglas County, a mid-year review of education. We're going to be talking to superintendents around the Umpqua Valley, starting off with Jared Corden of the Roseburg School District on Monday's Inside Douglas County. And Juliet Planches from Blue Zones Project Umpqua talking about the progress they've made in just their time since April of 2017. And going forward with a lot of things that are going on. And you've got to know that there are people this time of year that are thinking, well, maybe I should do this after all. They've been hearing about this for a couple years, haven't quite got there yet, but maybe end with their packet of New Year's wishes, resolutions, maybe there's a Blue Zones part of that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I'll share with you some upcoming ways that you can personally participate. In the first segment of this interview, I started talking about how we don't just want it to be on the individual, though, how we also want to support the places where you spend time. And we call that the life radius. We know that people spend about 90% of their time within 5 miles of either where they work or where they live. And so it's so important that we make those places where healthy choices are easier. So we're really excited over the first 2 years of Blue Zones Project that 19 of the top 20 work sites in the Umpqua Valley are currently engaged in Blue Zones Project, and that 12 of those top 20 work sites have implemented enough well-being interventions that they now meet the criteria to become Blue Zones Project approved, which just means that they've done enough to make healthy choices easier within their work sites for their employees and for the patrons that they serve, that they are now considered a well-being leader in our community. And that's 30 approved organizations now in the Umpqua Valley that have worked with us to say, this is a priority for us. We want to make healthy choices easier for our employees, for our clientele. And that includes 7 restaurants that are Blue Zones Project approved. And we're seeing some really great outcomes from that as well. Not only do we have more restaurants that are making healthy entrees and side dishes and making that whole restaurant eating out experience healthier, but they're also benefiting from it. So we're seeing that, for example, Shanti's Indian Cuisine reported a 35% increase in sales since they were Blue Zones Project approved. Lager's Tap House reported a rise in sales of Blue Zones Project menu items. They used to sell about 2 to 3 per week, and now they sell about 27 per week, and that's only after about 10 months of participation. So that's more people coming in looking for those healthy options. And then the restaurants also benefiting from those things. Grocery stores, Sherm's has been an incredible partner with us, and they've sold an additional 10,000 pounds of produce. That's so much more produce that people are purchasing, eating more fruits and vegetables, and we know that that is such a great contributor to well-being. They've also sold 14,000 bottles of water, additional bottles of water, through the Blue Zone's checkout lanes that many of you may be familiar with. So our organizations are really stepping up in our community to partner with us to say, this can't just all rely on the individual. We have to contribute and help people make healthy choices throughout their day, everywhere where they're going to spend time.
And not just for adults, but for kids as well. You've worked a lot with the schools and encouraging not only healthier food, but encouraging kids to walk to school, for instance.
Yes, we know. And that's one of the things I always think of, Kyle, when you say, like, you know, in the old days, we used to walk to school. That was absolutely true for me. And it's just unfortunately not the case. And for a variety of reasons. But in the schools that we're working with, it is coming back, a major comeback with walking to school. We have 4 walking school buses that provide kids the opportunity to safely walk to school under adult supervision. Of course, we do walk and bike to school day twice a year, where everyone, all of the schools, all of the kids that participate, all of the entire student body are able to have that opportunity to walk to school, and they absolutely love it. 6 schools are Blue Zones Project approved. So again, they've done a variety of things to introduce well-being best practices. 429 students thus far have received bicycle safety education through Jumpstart and other community partnerships. These are kids that are, again, learning how to bike safely. And that is such a great way to do what we call moving naturally, to just integrate that movement back into our day. And then we've also assisted in training and supporting faculty in trauma-informed practices in the schools, because we know that there's that softer element too, right? That mental health aspect, the mindfulness aspect, and making sure that we have healthy environments for our kids to learn within as well. And that's, you know, so those are our organizations, but we also do policy work. We have our 3 policy areas. We have our tobacco policy, our food policy, and our built environment policy that's also supporting long-term well-being interventions.
And as well, when you talk about these policy committees, you guys have done some, one of the things I thought was the most unusual was the, how do you describe it? Veggie prescription program?
Yes. Oh, that's one of my favorites. So it's such a simplistic but very, very powerful program. So if you can imagine, Kyle, let's say that you're my doctor and I'm your patient and I go to see you. And let's say I'm either experiencing chronic illness, as so many of us are, or food insecurity, meaning I don't have enough food to make it through the month. You will provide me a prescription that I will then go and take, not to the pharmacy, but to the farmer's market or a farm stand or the produce section of a grocery store. And I, in turn, get to buy more fruits and vegetables. Obviously, in the case of the farmer's market, I'm supporting local farmers, but I'm increasing my fruit and vegetable consumption, which we know has a direct correlation with chronic illness, but it's also supplementing my access to food. And we were able to conduct 2 programs thus far, and we're going into 2020 looking at how we're going to do a 3rd VeggieRx program with clinic partners and redemption sites to just provide another mechanism for people to help be healthier, to get that access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And we didn't invent that concept. That's a concept that other communities around the country have done. But we're so thrilled that people are loving it here. Our clinic partners are loving it. And we hope to be able to continue to do that long into the future.
And you've even looked at the areas of tobacco and especially the vaping issue.
Yeah. So our tobacco policy committee installed Keep Roseburg Beautiful cigarette butt receptacles around downtown's Roseburg perimeter. We conducted a downtown business survey around smoke-free policy and collaborated on a This Is Quitting youth vaping cessation program. And then we have our final committee, Built Environment, which they secured $2.2 million in funds through Safe Routes to School to expand staff and programming and improve pedestrian and bike-friendly infrastructure. They're creating a Pine Alley waterfront overlay and developing a wayfinding marquee project to get all of those walking and bike paths that we have scattered around our community connected and with good signage so people know how they can get from point A to B and hopefully get those more utilized, because we know the more times people spend outdoors moving, that's again going to be a great contributor to our community longevity.
And part of that too is in the green area of the safe routes to schools, because you really had a area there, and it's still in process, right. But where it was just harder for kids to walk safely to schools just because of the infrastructure.
Yeah, and we're so excited to be working with that community. You know, it's a low-income area, and like you said, people have struggled to be able to provide opportunities for their kids to walk and bike to school safely. So we're really looking forward to that infrastructure change that will make that a really probably quite lovely place to be at, spend time outdoors and for kids to walk and bike to school.
So about 30 seconds left. What about some of the things you have coming up?
Oh, right. So people can join the 609 people that have participated in Purpose Workshops at a Purpose Workshop happening in January 29th at 5:30 p.m. at Roseburg Public Library. We have Dr. Michael Greger coming at UCC's Jacoby Auditorium on February 8th at 6:30. Alexander's is going to get approved. They're our last restaurant to become Blue Zones Project approved. That's on January 28th at 5:30. Check out our Facebook page, Blue Zones Project Umpqua, for all of our upcoming events. We look forward to seeing you all there and continuing to help us make our home a place where we can all live long, happy lives.
Juliet Blanchess from Blue Zones Project Umpqua, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.